Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program. I'm glad you could join us. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles with today's message, I'll be preaching from 1 John chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. I concluded with this verse last time, but we're going to begin with 1 John 4, verse 1, and the title of the message is Testing the Spirits. Testing the Spirits. And it starts out where the Apostle John is encouraging and actually commanding, this is a commandment, to the people of God to when they listen to preachers preach, and that's what it's talking about, preachers and preaching, to listen critically. Now, when I say listen critically, I'm not saying that we should listen to find something wrong or just to trip somebody up. You know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Herodians, they when they spoke to the Lord in that day, they tried to trap him with their questions. And they tried to trap him in his own words, but they couldn't do it. Well, we don't want to be like that. You don't want to listen to somebody trying to find something wrong, trying to find something to argue about. But listening critically, what I mean by that is that you've got to hold the preacher's feet to the fire in the sense of making sure that what he's telling you is from the Word of God. We always talk about the Bereans that were mentioned in the book of Acts, how the Apostle Paul went and he preached to the Bereans. And the Bereans went to the Scriptures to see if what Paul was telling them was true. And they're called the noble Bereans. And I've often said jokingly about preachers that every preacher applauds the noble Bereans until they meet one. Because most preachers don't like to be questioned. They don't like to be, as I said, their feet held to the fire by the congregation. Because many preachers have the idea that it's what I call a popish attitude. That when they speak, you listen and you don't question. But that's not the way the New Testament tells the people of God to be in the church. And here's what he says. Look at what John says here. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Now the spirit there has to do, it's a way of speaking of those men and women too, because we have to put up with that today, that they come speaking, claiming to be spiritual people of God, preaching spiritual truth by the Holy Spirit. And so John says, don't believe every spirit, because everyone is not preaching the truth. He says, but try the spirit. Now that word try means to test them. Put them to the test. And the test that we mainly deal with, do rightly, is the gospel. You can think about it this way, over in the book of Galatians, where the Apostle Paul, he began that book, that letter to the churches in Galatia by telling them this. He said, I marvel that you're so soon removed from the truth, the gospel. And he told them this. He said, if any man comes preaching any other gospel, another gospel, and the Greek word for another in that passage is another of a different kind. So if anybody comes preaching another gospel, let him be anathema. In fact, he went so far as to say this. He said, if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel than that which we've preached, let him be anathema. That is, you're to judge them not to be of God, but to be cursed of God, actually. And Paul even applies that to himself. Paul had preached the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace in and by, conditioned on the Lord Jesus Christ, who is none other than God manifest in the flesh, God-man, and he had preached the gospel of the saving work of Christ as the surety, the substitute, the redeemer of God's elect, given to him, their salvation conditioned upon him, and whom he had met all those conditions to secure their salvation. And the conditions that he met was by his obedience unto death on the cross, shedding his blood as the complete, total payment for all their sins, their sins forgiven, their sins cannot be charged to them, and bringing forth an everlasting righteousness of infinite value, the righteousness of God revealed in the gospel, the merit of Christ's obedience unto death imputed to the people of God, so that ensures that they will be born again by the Spirit. It ensures that they will be given God-given faith and brought to repentance, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, repentance of dead works, which ensures that they will persevere, continue in the faith. They cannot leave it. They cannot deny it. They cannot be lost again, because God cannot impute their sins to them. He imputed them to Christ. They have his righteousness imputed to them, and that's their justification before God. And they've been given life from the dead by the Spirit of God, from Christ, who is their righteousness, and they will be brought to glory. I quote all the time on this program John 6:37, where he says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." He said, "This is the will of him that sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day." He said in John 10, "No one can pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." So the gospel of God's grace, not salvation conditioned on you or me, but conditioned on Christ alone, who fulfilled those conditions, righteousness that can only be found in the perfection of the law that Christ accomplished in his obedience unto death. If you find righteousness any other way, it's a false gospel. Paul said that in Galatians 2:21. He said, if righteousness come by the law, then Christ died in vain. Christ is dead in vain. And he said, nothing we do can contribute to the ground of our salvation. That's what Christ did. Now, he said in Galatians 1, if anybody comes preaching any other gospel than that which we have preached unto you, let him be anathema. So back here in 1 John 4, when he says, "But try the spirits, test them." And the proper way of testing is by the Word of God, by the gospel that is in God's Word. Are they preaching according to this Word? Back over in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, he had to deal with false preachers. And he told the people, this is Isaiah 8:20, he said, "To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, there's no light in them." And so when we test the preachers, test the spirits, you're to test me, hold my feet to the fire, to see whether or not I'm preaching the Word of God or my own opinions, my own ideas, or worthless things. And so that's the proper standard by which the preachers are to be tested. Not by appearance, not by speaking ability. Some preachers have a better ability to deliver a message than others. But that's not the proper way of testing. The Word of God is the proper way. So in that context, listen, beloved, believe not every spirit. Don't believe everybody who says they're preaching by the Spirit of God. And he says, but try or test the spirits, whether they are of God. Now, how do I know if they're of God? Are they preaching the Word of God? That's how you know. It's not how you feel. It's not how they make you feel. It's not by any sort of entertainment value. Maybe they can hold your attention with their entertainment, their jokes, or their stories, or their illustrations. Maybe they can. But are they preaching the Word of God? Are they preaching the true gospel? Are they preaching the true Christ? You know, Paul dealt with that in 2 Corinthians 11 when he said, "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus..." You know, there are false Jesuses. There are false Christs. The Lord said that they, in the last days, that there'd be many false preachers and false prophets coming and saying, "Here's Jesus, and there's Jesus, and we have Jesus." And he said, don't listen to them. And think about this. He said, some will be so close to the truth that if it were possible, they could deceive the very elect. That's how close they would be. Some are way far off of the truth. You know, I think about the Mormons, for example, who have that extra biblical book, the Book of Mormon. And it conflicts with the Word of God. It's a religion of works, salvation by works. See, test the spirits. If they speak not according to this word, recorded in the Bible, the Word of God. And I know the Bible's not always an easy book to understand. Believe me, I know that well. But that's why the scriptures say, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I wrote a book on that. We offer it here on this in our website, at our church, called Rightly Dividing the Word. And it's a study of rules of interpretation. And so many people, they read the Bible without understanding how it's to be interpreted. And of course, we know that nobody's going to see the reality of the truth of the Bible unless God reveals it. It takes a revelation from above. Think about the gospel. Paul said in Romans 1:16 and 17, he said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." And that's the gospel preached in the power of the Holy Spirit to the Jew first and to the Greek or the Gentile also. And he says in verse 17, "For therein," in that gospel, "is the righteousness of God revealed." Now it has to be revealed. And it's revealed, he said, from faith to faith. Now, what does that mean? Well, from faith means the knowledge revealed by God to His people. Knowledge revealed. To faith. What is that? That's believed. So it's from faith, knowledge revealed, to faith, knowledge believed, and that believing, that faith, is the gift of God. And he says, the justified shall live by faith. Well, who are the justified? Those whose sins are forgiven on a just ground, the blood of Christ. Those who are declared righteous in the sight of God on a just ground, the imputed righteousness of Christ. And they live by faith. They live by the knowledge that God has given them in His Word, revealed to them. And they live by looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith. And as I said, that faith is the gift of God. It's not given to everybody. That's what Ephesians 2:8 says. You know, "For by grace are you saved, through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So what we have to be concerned with, testing the spirits, is are they preaching the Word of God? Go back to 1 John 4:1. I know I'm spending a lot of time on this, but this is important now. "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try or test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Many false prophets. If you think about Matthew, in Matthew chapter 7, where the Lord in the Sermon on the Mount taught about this very subject, about false preachers. And over in Matthew 7, in verse 13, he began with this. He said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate." All right? Enter in. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about salvation. He's talking about the kingdom of God. "Enter ye in at the straight gate." And he says, "For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat." Now, the broad way is a way of death and destruction. It's the way of false gospels, false religion. It's the way of the world. And he says, "Many there be which go in thereat." But in verse 14 of Matthew 7, he says, "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Now, the way of life is a narrow way. It's a straight gate. That word "straight" there doesn't mean straight as far as direction. It means a straight like in an ocean when a ship comes upon, they're going into port or something. They have to go through a strait. It's a very narrow way, and they have to navigate very carefully not to hit the rocks on each side. Now, what is that straight gate? What is that narrow way? Or better yet, who is that straight gate? Who is that? That's Christ. The only way of eternal life, the only way to enter into life, the only way to enter into the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, salvation, is by the Lord Jesus Christ crucified and risen from the dead. Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." The way of salvation is the way of the cross. It's the way of grace, freely given. And what I mean by grace is this. And we have to do this because just about every preacher says they believe salvation by grace, but they don't. The false preachers in Galatia were saying they believe salvation by grace, but they didn't. That's why Paul had to tell them. He said, if you believe what they believe, you've fallen from grace. Not that you've lost your salvation. You're denying grace, which you claim to believe. So it's the way of grace, and grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So it's a way of righteousness that is in Christ. So in other words, the way of salvation is not the way that I work my way into it, or work my way into the favor of God, or decide my way into it. A lot of preachers preach that Christ died for everybody, now it's up to you to make the decision. I heard a preacher preaching the other day, and he said he saw a church sign that said this, that God does not give, let me make sure I quote it correctly. He says, "God does not give guarantees, He gives opportunities." Well, that's a lie. The salvation that God gives to His people is a guarantee. It's an assurance, because the surety of that covenant of grace of salvation is Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 20 that all the promises of God in Him are yea and amen, sure and certain. God guarantees it. The Holy Spirit in the new birth is the earnest of our expectation. We fully expect to be glorified because it's God's Word. And God's Word is a guarantee. And it's all conditioned on Christ. Now, if any of it were conditioned on me or you, it wouldn't be guaranteed. It'd be guaranteed to fail. But it's all in Christ, who cannot fail. Well, let me take you once a little further in Matthew 7. The way of salvation, the straight gate, the narrow way. One way, the only way, not many ways. You know, I know preachers today who call themselves Christian who say, "Well, there are many ways to God." Well, Christ Himself said no. That's the broad way that leads to destruction. The straight and narrow way is the one way of salvation by God's grace in this person, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God manifest in the flesh, and by His righteousness, which He accomplished on Calvary in His obedience unto death, signified by His resurrection from the dead. Well, he goes on in verse 15 of Matthew 7. Beware of false prophets. Now, how are you going to beware, be wary, be careful, not to be deceived by false prophets if you don't discern or judge? You know, over there in Matthew 7, 1, where it says, judge not that you be not judged. A lot of people read that and they apply it to every situation, but that's not what it applies to. Christ, the judgment that He forbids is self-righteous judgment. The kind of judgment that the Pharisees used, which was character and conduct, or that sliding scale of righteousness. But He says here, beware of false prophets. We must judge righteous judgment. We judge it by the Word of God. We test the spirits by the Word of God. And so He says, beware of false prophets, verse 15, which come to you in sheep's clothing. Now there's a deception. These are false preachers who claim to believe in Christ, claim to be Christian, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Now look at verse 16. He says, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Now, a lot of people are confused about that passage. And when they speak about the fruits, they'll go to the fruit of the Spirit, listed in Galatians chapter 5, and the works of the flesh. And that's true. What Galatians 5 teaches is true. But that's not what this is talking about. By their fruits you shall know them. What are their fruits? Well, their fruits are their false doctrine, which produces false believers. In other words, under the preaching of a false gospel, that evil tree that points sinners to the broad way that leads to destruction, all that can be produced by that is evil fruit. That's all it can do. Nobody can be saved under the preaching of a false gospel. That's what this is teaching. But under the true gospel, in the power of the Holy Spirit, all that can be produced is believers, true believers, children of God. And that good tree, Christ is the tree of life. That good tree, that true gospel, the power of the Spirit, all that can be produced is good fruit. That is a sinner saved by grace. Now, does that mean that false believers cannot sit under the truth for a while? No, they can sit under the truth for a while, but they weren't produced by the good tree. They were produced by an evil tree. So understand that. Now, back over to 1 John 4 now. Many false prophets are gone out into the world, and it's up to us to discern. The book of Hebrews talks about that we need to be skillful in the word of righteousness, Hebrews 5, to discern good and evil. Look at verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Now that's what I want to know. I want to know when I'm listening to a preacher that he's speaking in the power of the Spirit of God. And it's not by the miracles he performs. It's not by anything like that. Here it is. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. In verse 3, every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Confessing that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Well, what does that mean? Well, my friend, that's the gospel. Because the gospel is embodied in the person and work of Christ. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. His name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Lord of glory, the Lord our righteousness, has come in the flesh. He walked this earth as God manifest in the flesh. He kept the law perfectly. He knew no sin. He had no sin. He's the impeccable Christ. He suffered and he bled. He wept. He grew tired. He grew hungry. Natural infirmities of the flesh, but yet sinless. And he went to the cross and suffered and died for the sins of his sheep. That's what the scripture says. Not for everybody without exception. If Christ suffered and died for everybody without exception, then we would have to say everybody without exception will be saved. And the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches that his suffering unto death was a propitiation. We read about that in 1 John 2. A propitiation is a sin-bearing sacrifice that brings satisfaction to the law and justice of God. So in Christ, we have the gospel. And those who do not confess that are antichrist. Understand how that works. Test the spirit, because many, many false preachers, false prophets are gone out into the world. Look for that one who is preaching the truth, who is preaching the Word of God, who is telling you the truth. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.